Email you.
Good evening. Thank you for coming. It is 5:00 on Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019. We are at the authority office, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting. Roll call, Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Sean Carlton.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
For the record, Sean Lambert will not be with us. Other than that, all directors are present. Item 3A, the meeting minutes of March 5th, 2019. Are there any questions or corrections?
I didn't have any. Anybody? I'll move that we approve the business meeting minutes of March 5th, 2019.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of March 5th, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4A, accounts payable for March 5th, March 15th, and March 31st of 2019. Any questions?
Not hearing any, I will move that we approve the accounts payable for March 5th, March 15th, and March 31st of 2019.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for March 5th, March 15th, and March 31st. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Any questions for the authority manager?
I had one question on SDCs. We had said at the last meeting that there were 5 SDCs, but the manager's report said that there's 4. I just wanted clarification on how many we've had this year. 6? Thank you. Thanks.
We had a couple come in that I didn't get incorporated in here.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Nope. Got it. All right. Moving on, item 5, manager's report. Tony?
The only really real item I have to report on is the disinfectant byproducts, specifically the HAA5 sample for February was at 19.1 parts per billion, which is well below the MCL. And we are now back in compliance with the disinfection byproduct rule.
So are we going to be testing on that?
We'll have to do it every quarter.
Quarter. And that's the one that takes a while to get back. Doesn't it take a month to get that back?
It's 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Well, it just, you know, we test it and then how it, you know, it takes a long time to get things back to rectify it. There's... You know, if there was like something that we need to do to adjust or something.
That's why the EPA level is set so low. You have time to deal with it before you have a problem that's going to cause a big issue. It's not like the level is so high that you're in crisis when you get that report back.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about how long it takes to get test results back.
It's just too, I mean, it's, you know, it's too bad. You know, waiting on somebody else to find out.
Is it an independent lab that does the testing?
Well, it's a private lab.
Private lab, yeah.
And that would be part of the normal process.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to do in-house testing, because that might call the results into question.
Absolutely.
It's too bad. It would be nice to get it back sooner to fix things. You know, if it is need to be fixed or that we're on top of, I don't know. Government, I guess, just waiting.
All right. Anything else, Tony? Huh? All right. Item 6A, new business, surplus equipment bid. So I guess this is what these are?
We have 4 of them.
And we need to open them and read them into the record?
Yep.
Everybody take one to open and read.
Do I start, Ann?
So we just read it?
Who they're from and what the amount is, correct? Yes.
This is from Mike Schmitz, and the bid is $301.01.
I've got Ian Spaff, Pacific City Homes, $1,680.
I got Kim Wilden, $600.
Who did you say it was?
Wilden, W-I-L-L-D-E-N.
Kim, the first name?
Kim.
Kim.
It is Kim.
K-I-M.
Wilden.
And how much?
$600.
And I have one from Joe for $200.
Joe.
Just
Joe.
Yeah. Echo for the construction.
Yeah. Echo.
Give himself out $1,000. Good for us, though.
Embarrassed to offer $200. Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
So do we need a motion to accept?
We need a motion to award, accept award.
So I'll move that we accept the bid from Ian Spaff, Pacific City Homes, $1,680, I believe it was.
Correct.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we accept the high bid from Ian at Pacific Coast Homes for Pacific City Homes, $1,680. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
Sold.
All right. Item 6B. We need to appoint budget committee members. We have two applications. We have two openings. Are there any questions with regards to the applications in front of us?
Now, when do we need to fill these?
When does who need to fill
these? When do we need to have these filled by? Today? Is that what we're... I would have liked this. I would have liked some more time. Was that put out?
It's in the budget, in the board packet.
It's in the...
Right.
To read and consider.
Right. I would have liked, a couple of, more time, but we did put it in the paper.
Yes, right? It's been in the paper. Yeah. Right.
It's been the normal process of announcing and time frame.
It's according to ORS that we have to do that, is correct?
Yeah, we have to advertise.
That was in the Sun and
Headline Herald.
Headline Herald. Okay. Because it has to be a certain type of publication.
So I will move that we appoint Gary Link and Nettie Cassiano to the 2019 Budget Committee?
They'd be appointed to the Budget Committee because they serve a 3-year term.
Well, okay. It depends. The different positions will serve different terms, which we'll have to get that all figured out this year.
Okay. So at this point, appoint them to the committee.
Correct.
So.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we appoint Gary Link and Nettie Cassiano to the Budget Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
I say aye on one and nay on one. So I don't know if I...
Specify which one?
Should we do them separately?
I think they should be done separately.
Sure. Okay. Do them separately.
Okay. We'll move that we approve Gary Link to... or appoint Gary Link to the Budget Committee.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we appoint Gary Link to the Budget Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
I'll move that we appoint Nettie Cassiano to the Budget Committee.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded that we appoint Nettie Cassiano to the Budget Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Me.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Item 7A, wastewater treatment improvement project.
We are about a month away from final completion, give or take a few days. With still a lot left to do. We've had numerous startups over the last month on various pieces of equipment and processes. Right now, the biosolids equipment has not been started up. That startup is scheduled for the week of April 22nd. We also have a few other things that need to be attended to in the startup. And I have begun the takeout process with Rural Development for paying off the interim funding loan. And we're trying to get that scheduled for mid-June. So they will pay off the interim funding, and then our debt service will be with Rural Development from here on out.
Good.
That's all I have on that.
How far, as far as the money-wise, how far are we set as far as what we've spent? And
we're on budget.
On budget?
Yep.
And the things that need to be adjusted, we're still, so we'll probably, but we have to spend what is budgeted, correct? Because we've talked about this before. We have to spend the money that is.
If you're referring to the grant money, yeah, we're almost into the grant money now. So.
And what is left, we'll probably take what we need to finish up then.
More than likely, yeah, the way it looks.
All but 1 cent. Or you got to spend it.
What's that?
We have to spend it.
Basically, yeah.
So I think the real advantage here is that we do not have to make a short-term loan payment in the next fiscal year and then do the takeout. So we are saving the citizens a lot, I think quite a bit of interest money by being able to get this long-term loan with USDA in place at 2.14%, correct, Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that's both Tony and Michelle deserve a lot of credit for the relationship not only we have with USDA, but also for this process of making sure this goes according to plan, because it doesn't happen in most places. USDA does not allow you to do that until later on in the process. So thank you.
Yes.
Both of you. All right, item 7B, community engagement and outreach. You have in front of you as part of your board packet the information from ARD Public Affairs. I was asked to get this from Anna and to see what you thought about it. So just to back up a little bit, we had talked about, we put a strategic draft plan in place to move forward, and part of that plan is community outreach in terms of trying to engage the community more. We had talked about how we have tried a number of things and the community has not participated in it in the way that we would expect. And so we thought we might look to an outside person to tell us how to do that better or to guide us in that direction. And this is a result of what she proposes. I did chat with her last week, and due to her workload, the earliest she'd be able to engage with us would be the first part of May. I also, and I didn't make copies for everybody, but the American Water Association has a couple of pages on community engagement and reaching out to the community and so forth, and different kinds of things, not different kinds of things, but different, not strategies, but just different reasons that they think that's important and things that you might look at. And this kind of comes under that type of heading. So there is support in the industry for doing this kind of thing if we should move forward at this point. The challenge with moving forward with some of this is that we had talked about it being handed down to the assistant manager position, and we don't have that person on board yet. And so do we want to, what do we want to do at this point? Table one, wait for the other, try to get them together, do them separately, move on. What are your thoughts?
I don't mind if I open this door.
Please do.
Hasn't took hold on you, has it, Joe?
No, it's good. I guess I would say I'm not sure that I'm ready to go forward on this yet. I'd like to do a little bit more research, and I can, do you know where it was a particular recommendation or paper at the American Water Association.
I pulled those down. I couldn't send you from the top of my head, but I can send them to Tony and have him send them out to the board.
That from American Water Works Association, not American Water.
Water.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
It's on my computer. I just don't. Cameron, your thoughts?
I know we need to do something. I really do, but I think I'm like, John, let's maybe wait. We do need a strategic plan of, you know, really. I mean, there's the most people we've had in a long time in our meetings. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we could have a discussion about it next month when Director Lambert's here as well and have a little time to review some stuff.
Sure. Okay. Dan, did you want to chime in here?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I think we've got a lot of balls in the air, and we did tie this to an expectation that an assistant manager would be carrying out whatever we came up with.
Deadline date on this? At all?
Deadline date on what?
On going forward, I mean,
we have a goal in the strategic plan, and the goal was to get something in place this spring.
Yeah. So I was kind of leaning toward putting it off for a little bit too.
I agree.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it's consensus that with the community engagement and outreach plan, that we'll put that on hold. We'll bring it up for. We'll put that on the agenda again for next month. In the meantime, we'll get ourselves some more information, look into it a little deeper, and I'll remind everybody to check back in with that strategic plan to see how it folds in with that, and we can have a better discussion at that point.
And you'll pass that.
And I will get back
to Anna.
Yes, I will get back to Anna. Okay, item 7C, board member roles and responsibilities. During the last meeting, we had discussed the issue of abstention and how that relates to board member roles and responsibilities. Sean, you wanted to take a look at some data, and I said that I would also contact George Dunkel to clarify what he had to say. He came back with a couple of sentences. Why don't I just read it here? He said, you are correct in quoting the Attorney General's public meeting manual. Elected officials are elected to make decisions. Generally, there is an expectation and an understanding that persons elected to special district boards will vote with or against the majority on issues. Abstaining is appropriate and required in certain situations, like actual conflict of interest, but not stating why a person is abstaining seems inappropriate from an elected official.
And can you remind us who he is again?
George
Dunkel is the board consultant at SDAO for best practices.
Okay. Yeah, I did a lot of research, and that the research that I found seems consistent with what he said. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. I don't remember precisely what the situation was at the last meeting. Were you talking about having some sort of a policy that you wanted to implement, or just that we talked about this in general?
I think that part of what it is that we've come from the point of view that with board responsibility, duties and responsibilities, that we're needing to include things to help educate ourselves about what is appropriate behavior and what's not. And if it's not in the board responsibilities and duties, it can get missed by people that don't have board experience or that haven't gone through the whole manual on public meetings laws. And that this is a piece that's come up that I thought we should clarify for ourselves, so that when we did voting, it was done in the spirit and interest of what we were expected to do, so that we could conduct business the way we need to.
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, in the one case that the Attorney General's manual cites, it seemed pretty extensive, but it seemed that an abstention could be construed as having the effect of negating something.
True.
And I think that could be concerning. That it's not just looked at as an abstention, is that it can be looked at as the effect of not doing something, as opposed to just abstaining. And so that was an interesting interpretation from the Oregon Supreme Court, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, there was quite a lot of information out there from other states that I don't know necessarily agreed with the Oregon Supreme Court's interpretation. But we're in Oregon, so.
Most states do not have public meeting laws. Most states are not as open with their data as Oregon is.
Interesting.
It is very interesting.
Now, the reason for abstaining, isn't it that there's not enough information for the board member?
If you have missed meetings, say you've been on a Caribbean cruise for 2 months, and you haven't been in meetings for 2 months. But other than that kind, or if it's a issue that came up immediately and you know, you were out of town and didn't have time to prepare, then there's a clear lack of information that would not allow you to vote.
Or if you had a conflict of interest. If you owned a business or something that you were making a decision relative to.
And then you don't want to be part of that vote.
Yeah.
Because that would be a conflict of interest under the laws. But other than that, it is our responsibility to vote yay or nay in order to do business.
Or if you, it's pretty well documented that if you missed a meeting, you need to abstain from voting on the minutes of the meeting.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
Right. That would be valid. But in this one Supreme Court case that the Attorney General's manual cites, the two Washington County commissioners who abstained because they thought that there was a conflict of interest, and the Supreme Court said that it wasn't a valid conflict of interest, and it actually looked like it was a conflict of interest. So the Supreme Court essentially is saying that you need to state that you have a conflict of interest, but it doesn't absolve you from voting on it, which I thought was an interesting conclusion. So
the law is very interesting.
I don't know if interesting is the right word.
Okay, so why...
Not wishing you'd gone to law school.
Nope.
Why don't I then draft some language that we can add then to the board of responsibilities, and we'll get that in there in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, next item. Item 8, guest questions and comments.
Okay, I guess I'll start. I'm Robin Kostrykin from PC Heights. I sent the board a letter in March asking if you could have answers to 4 questions. So I wonder if you have answers to those 4 questions that I, you know, asked whether you could have it at this meeting. And if you need me to tell you what they are, I can do that.
If there's just 4 questions, why don't you start? That'll be easier.
No problem. Okay, I wanted to find out, I asked you in my letter, when was the last time we tested for asbestos?
Okay, that sample date was 7/28/15, and the I think the testing was... And it was posted 11/10/16. Okay. And I mentioned that at the last meeting. So there should have been.
Yeah, I listened to the meeting, but I didn't hear that.
Okay.
But I was sick, so I could have missed it. And then how much does it cost for the asbestos test?
Somewhere between $50 and $350, depending on exactly what you're looking for.
Okay. And then how much did the HR person cost the district?
Well, I have to go back in the 20 minutes.
Off the top
I don't have it off the top of my head.
Ryan Fleming.
Could you send that to me in an email? I would appreciate that.
I think it's in the meeting minutes of previous. We had to approve it, so it was in the meeting minutes with a dollar amount.
The written minutes or
yes.
the okay? Yeah, because we made a motion. Okay.
As a board and approved it as a board.
So I will look, and the same thing with the community engagement person. That's also in your meeting minutes. How much she costs?
We haven't approved that yet.
Oh, so you haven't approved it.
Yeah,
okay. That was the one we just discussed and decided to put off.
Okay, sorry, I missed that. Okay, thank you. I have more questions, but I want to give someone
else
a chance.
Have questions? Yes.
Sudie Lane, on the asbestos pipe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there water running through the three places that Tony mentioned that we do have asbestos pipe? He said the one from downtown PC that runs to the Woods Bridge. And he also said there was one on Pacific, which is close to where I live. He also said there was asbestos pipe on Hill Street.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if there's water going through all of them. I know there's water going through the one that's under the river. I want to know if there's water going through the other two.
What pipe are you referring to that goes under the river?
You said there were two other ones, Tony.
No, Sue. We don't have any asbestos pipe that goes under the river.
Where does it go then? The one that runs from Pacific City to the Woods Bridge. Where does it run?
It runs from the four-way blinking light to Woods. Actually, to Broughton Road North at the park.
At the county park.
At the county park.
The bridge.
Okay. How? It's very hard to figure where it's going to be because of all of the houses that are along
it,
there.
It generally runs along the west side of Broughton Road.
In the public right of way.
Yeah, in the public right
of way. So it would be, what is that, 25 feet usually?
It's more than that.
It's different in different places.
Between the houses and the river?
No, it runs along Broughton Road.
The houses
and the road. It's on the roadside of the houses.
Yeah.
The highway.
Broughton Road right of way,
yes.
Correct.
Okay, because I was told that it was under the river. I was also told another story, which I disproved, by the way, that somebody had to cut a chunk out of it. The deed told them at Nestucca Marina they had to cut a big chunk out of it, and because it was leaking or stuff. Well, that happened to Ben when Bernie and Sophie had it. So I got a hold of Bernie, and he said he never heard of it. He didn't even know there was asbestos pipe running there. And I would assume that the majority of the people in Pacific City do not know that we have asbestos pipe still in use in town.
We do, and a lot of jurisdictions do. It is considered safe for drinking water.
Can you tell me when this pipe was put in?
The exact date? Probably
give or take a year.
Probably not, because at that point in time when those pipes were in the ground, they did not map it, and there are not dates associated with that. None of us on the board, and Tony, weren't here when that was done.
I know, because I was here before any of you were.
I'm sure.
And it was done before that. And also, I do know that when Connie Wright left the water district, he took all the maps with him. And so it was a new mapping thing, which should have been done by the prior, not Tony, because he wasn't here yet, but by the prior water district that should have been mapped. And you're telling me, Tony, that there is no water that runs through the asbestos pipe on Pacific?
No, I did not say that. I said that there's no AC piping. You gotta, we recognize that this is not asbestos pipe. This is asbestos cement pipe.
Asbestos, yes,
yeah. It's not just straight asbestos pipe. We don't have any AC pipe that runs in the river. We have asbestos cement pipe that runs along Broughton Road, north and south. We have a small area on Pacific, and then a small chunk on Hill, and they're all carrying water.
They all have water in now?
Part of our distribution.
Okay, yep. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And do you inspect those and have those tested oftener than every 9 years?
No.
Why?
Because EPA is, and the Oregon Drinking Water Program says that we need to test every 9 years. That's what they have said is safe. One thing to bear in mind as well is that the maximum contaminant level for asbestos in drinking water is 7 million fibers per liter, greater than 10 microns in length. And we have had non-detects on our asbestos in our drinking water.
Okay, when was the last time that it was tested?
In 2015.
2015? Mm-hmm. And that includes Pacific? Because, see, Pacific is really close to me, and so is Hill. They're on both sides of the block.
Well, we take it from the place where we generally think there's going to be the most detention time in the system, and that is out along Broughton Road, down by the park.
Okay, but that takes care of that one. What
right.
about these?
We're only required to test in one location.
So these could break and you guys would never know it.
Well, it's not...
excuse me.
Break. If a water pipe under that has water running through it breaks, we're going to know.
But it has to break before you know, if you don't test.
If you test, that's not going to tell you whether
right.
the pipe broke or not.
No, I realize that,
okay.
but that pipe could be leaking. I know this happens because it happened in my house a number of times. Ask Michelle. She's the one that had to send me the god-awful bill. Anyway, there could be a leak in that pipe underground, and it could be leaking for some time. 5 or 6 years before 9 years ever comes around to be tested.
If that leak goes out, it doesn't come into your drinking water.
Sure, it's groundwater. And so what if you drink out of the hose? Groundwater. No, I don't agree with that, but then I don't agree with a lot of things. So.
All right. Thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
Yes, Rob.
Okay. All the questions that I have, except for one, are around the asbestos, because that is a very a major concern for me, and I think it is for a lot of people. So this is a three-part question, and I'd like to hear from each board member, please, starting with Cameron Bogus. Okay, this is the first part of the question. Yes.
Robin,
yes.
You can ask the question, but in terms of how it gets answered, that's up to the board chair who's running the meeting.
Yeah,
Thank you.
So whoever would like to answer this question, okay. First, did you know that we only test asbestos every 9 years? That's the first part. Second part is, do you believe we should be testing more often than every 9 years? And the last part, do you believe that people have the right to know about this who get their water from asbestos pipes? So whoever would like to answer.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Can you tell me why you think there's asbestos in the water?
No. What I'm saying is I don't know if there's asbestos in the water. But what I'm saying is I've looked up studies, which, you know, is important to do. And I looked up, and there's a number of them, and I'm still looking into it, that actually places where they had to tell people not to drink their water because that asbestos was going through the drinking water and getting stuck in their shower head. And so they were inhaling the asbestos. So it's not just drinking the water, but if they're leaching through the system, they go into your, you know, your faucet, your sink, your shower head, or if you're taking a bath. So what I'm saying is about asbestos is that, you know, in my letter, what I stated is that I know you said you didn't find any studies that showed a correlation with asbestos and drinking water. My concern is that, you know, I believe that the asbestos you inhale has a more immediate effect on your respiratory system. With asbestos, they would have to do a more long-term study to see if any fibers that go through your water are going to cause you to have health effects or cause you to have cancer. So see, for me, you look at those studies differently, in which I put in my letter. That studies, as I said, you already know, often are funded by people with a certain agenda. And so, like I said, I'm very concerned. Asbestos isn't a carcinogen. And I want to know, and I think other people who I've talked to who would get their water from asbestos pipes want to know that they're safe. And so that's why.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring this up because it's been, you know, because you've cited a number of articles, and I do appreciate that because I haven't done much reading on it until now. What I'm finding, though, is that the studies that they're even beginning to think that there might be a problem are 500 times the level that the EPA requires you be under. And we're showing non-traceable amounts underneath that EPA level. So if you could identify the amounts or the volumes of asbestos in those pipes and send me those articles that you're citing that there is, I would be happy to take a look at them because I can't find them out there at all. And I have looked through the registry on toxic substances that the Center for Disease Control publishes. I have looked internationally, and I can't find one single piece of science that shows a problem with health and asbestos in water to do either with drinking or with showers on human beings.
Okay.
Not one yet.
So, I found some, so I'll be glad to share those with you.
That'd
and
be great.
I'm still doing research. And like I said, you know, having a database, I mean, I wish I was close to a medical library because that's really, I've done it before. That's where you find studies that are kind of buried, you know, away. So I'll do some more research and then I'll send it to you.
Okay.
So basically, nobody else has any response to whether they think we should test it more often or if they feel that people have a right to know that their water is carried by asbestos pipes. You feel it's not important because what you're saying is there's no ill effects from what you've looked into in the studies, so that why should you tell people because there's nothing. It might alarm them. There's nothing there to support that.
There's nothing. From my point of view, at this point, there's nothing to tell. There's no scientific evidence that there is a problem, and there's no evidence from this authority that we have an issue of having any asbestos in our drinking water.
Yeah. Okay. So then I'm assuming that everybody.
And I don't know if everybody agrees, but you know we are regulated,
mm-hmm.
And I appreciate those regulations, you know, that are out there to protect us all. And you have to find that balance between, you know, what do you do to protect and when don't you protect? And so we could just go along with the regulations, but I've probably put in 16 to 24 hours of reading articles on this,
mm-hmm.
and I still can't find anything. And I'm a pretty good researcher, so if you come up with stuff, I'd be happy to take a look at it.
We talked about this in our last board meeting that Sean...
We did, and I brought it up, so if you would have read the minutes, you would have seen that I brought up that we should be testing more than once every 9 years. So
right.
I was pretty clear on that at the last meeting.
What I heard you say, and that's why I asked it, Sean, is what I heard you say is based on the public perception it might be advisable for us to do that, but I didn't hear you say, yes, I think it should happen. So that's why I asked that question, because I wasn't clear. Okay. So thank you.
Because I think we found, I found out last meeting that it was, that we tested every 9 years. That's when I found out about it. Yes, I agree, we should do more testing. I mean, I think that's a relatively cost for, what, $350 to test? I think we should maybe discuss this as a board of maybe doing it more. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I guess I'm feeling like it's asbestos cement pipe. It's not asbestos. And my fear is in sometimes in conversations that we are conflating this issue with what instances we've all heard of where houses have had siding with asbestos on them, and they take the siding off, and you have to have hazmat suits and evacuation vacuums and that sort of thing, which is, in my understanding, because in that instance you actually have asbestos fibers that are being disturbed and therefore are in the air which you can breathe, and so you have to wear safety gear and that sort of thing. This is a completely different situation. And also, so I think it's, first of all, important not to, I think it's important to understand what it is, first of all, when we think about it. And then secondly, as far as testing more often, if we had had any kind of instance where we had even approached an exceedance of this when that pipe has been there for as many years as we've all discussed here.
We figure about 70.
And in all that time following our regulations as far as the EPA and water testing and all that sort of thing, we've never had an instance of even approaching an exceedance of that level. That, in my mind, kind of lobbies against more frequent testing. But, you know, I think it's an issue we could continue to discuss before we try to make a final decision on that.
Yes. I think because last year it was so much.
Let it finish and then we can.
If we could, I hate to put these conversations off, but sometimes these conversations go on for a while. So, do we have any examples of any other water districts that have a similar issue? Or I certainly don't know either.
I looked on the association, the National Association for Water, which is AWWA.
American
Water Works. And there is nothing there.
Okay, so they have no data there.
Right. I was on the it'll come up in a minute. The Association of Toxic something something at the CDC today looking for that. And there isn't anything with asbestos in drinking water. It all has to do with either handling asbestos or it being
which is
in
a
the
different
air,
issue.
Or the only place where drinking water becomes an issue is if you've got asbestos rock and your water is coming from that source.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The asbestos rock, you know, given which, its intensity, has the different, I mean, there's 7 different kinds of asbestos fibers, and they're different lengths and different widths and different shapes and so forth. And depending upon what that source looks like, then you can get it in drinking water at that point. But it's not enough in drinking water to
asbestos rock.
Yeah, that's asbestos.
And that's, again, it's not a situation that we have.
That's not our situation. Or if you have water drinking water that's coming off of a waste site where there has been asbestos mining going on.
Which is not the case.
And that's not our case either. So those are the only two cases that I could find where any of that existed.
Well, a lot of this stuff came up when Portland schools were having asbestos in their water. Were those all water pipes that were asbestos?
That was lead.
Lead.
That was lead.
Not asbestos.
Completely different.
Yeah. So,
And that has to do with lead piping and solder and all that business.
But
it's completely
It would be
different
nice to be. $350, I think, would be a good preventive, or just because of anything of saying asbestos pipe or asbestos cement pipe, anything with saying asbestos, everybody thinks right to cancer. I mean,
you're correct that the money is not the issue here, because even if it was $1,000 or $5,000, if it was an issue, we would be testing for it. So we're looking at what the policy is, not what the cost of the test is. And I think it's very important that we set policy based on fact. That's my personal opinion, and not on public perception. Because when we start setting policy on public perception, how does the public know then when we are telling the truth, or when we are basing our decisions on fact, or just because we want them not to worry or to be quiet or whatever? I think that it is necessary to have a dialogue and go through an educational process, and Robin has helped with that, you know, in trying to, you know, raise the level of the conversation about it, and we're working our way through that. I have a problem with supporting testing that would be based on public perception.
And I just wanted to say that I did find at least two incidences, but I haven't looked enough, and I haven't spent the amount of time you have. And I did find that, and I can't remember where it was. It was in Texas or California. But they had asbestos pipes that carried drinking water. They were less than 30 years. I looked up the engineering reports. They say their life expectancy is from 50 to 70 years. Well, Sue and I were talking because, you know, she's lived here a long time. Her husband was on the water board. So she was trying to rack her brain how old they are. And she thought they could be as old as the 40s, which means they're on the high end of the life expectancy, which is 70 years. The ones that I looked actually degraded less than 30 years.
And you're right.
And they went into, and what the problem was, is that they went into people's shower heads. So they had all these fibers. So you can imagine you're taking a shower and you're, you know, you don't think about it, you're inhaling.
Before you get excited about that, though, asbestos will come off of asbestos pipe in certain conditions, and those are not our conditions here. So we have to be very careful when we start talking about what's happening to other people, that we make sure we understand the quality of our water and the type of our water and the pipes and all the pieces that go with it, so we can have that conversation.
Right, and I'm looking at the longevity, because like I said, you know, if I looked up quite a few engineering reports, and because I wanted to find out, I have no idea how long these are supposed to last.
And
70 years was the limit, but a lot of them said 50 years max, because they start to degrade.
And again, that depends on the pH, the water, the time that the water is in there, the organic compounds, and a few other things. And so I've been looking at that.
But, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm concerned, because, you know, these are things, you know, things could happen, and, you know, 9 years is a long time, especially if they're more than, you know, 70 years old.
We're watching for those things. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I would just like to make one comment,
please,
based on, and I hear what you're saying about not basing policy on public perception. I just want to reiterate that my position on this is that asbestos is a concern in the community, and I think it would be a good idea to test more frequently than once every 9 years. So I disagree with you on that.
Okay.
I understand.
Appreciate that. One more question. Yes.
Excuse me. Okay. This one's for Tony, because he would know, you guys would not. There has been a lot of pipes replaced in Pacific City. And a lot of those pipes have been asbestos type pipes. I want to know what happened to those pipes that were taken out and replaced.
Which pipes that were taken out?
The asbestos pipes.
Chairman Vicker, that's an issue that we have discussed previously in executive session, and I'm not at liberty to discuss that at this point.
Exactly.
Excuse me, I didn't hear.
It's an issue that we have discussed in executive session, and we're not at liberty to discuss those particular details of that issue at this point. Do you have a concern about it that we could...
I know of a particular place where there was asbestos pipe from this place, and I know where it was taken. And I also know that where it was taken was mixed in with other debris. And that water, the rainwater that comes down, feeds into the creek that runs down and feeds the grade school. I will not name names, and he knows about it, and that's why I ask if he would be willing to tell me anything about it.
He can't.
But not.
He can't at this point.
Mm-hmm. Will he be able to at any point?
I don't know. That's
why? Why the secrecy? I don't understand why everything has to be a secret.
Everything is not a secret.
It seems like it.
I'm sorry. We've done a lot of talking here, so everything's not a secret. The particular question that you asked is something he's not at liberty to discuss at this point.
I understand that. Okay. I just wonder if there will ever be a point.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I know you want to get out of here, but I do have one very important question.
What?
And it has nothing to do with asbestos, okay?
What do you mean you know I want to get out of here?
Well, because you said that was the last question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
One more, Rob.
Okay, so one more. That's it. That's all I have. Okay, this is about chlorine overload, which a number of us have brought up concern about. So I'd like to know what Tony is going to do to address this problem that some of us have brought up and why the board has remained silent on this issue. So far, nothing's been done about it. Now, I didn't know this, but I live on Riverview Drive, and I happened to be talking to my neighbor, Bob Anderson, and he told me he was the one that went to small claims court, and he explained to me his problem that he had, and I said, wow, I have the same problem as you do. And it's too bad you had to go to small claims court, because he said that he had contacted Tony and it was never addressed. So to my knowledge, nobody has come out to see if there's a problem. My neighbor, who lives on the cross street where I live, he also cannot drink the water. He has a grandchild with asthma that, you know, and it's causing respiratory distress. The chlorine smell is just horrendous. So I guess what I haven't heard from our manager or the board is what are you going to do about it? Because it's not just, there are quite a few people. Now, I am going to be talking to people because I want to see, are there particular areas, you know, that have this problem? But I did send you the scientific studies about chlorine, and chlorine is, given certain circumstances, causes major health issues like cancer. And I, you know, had in there what kind of cancers, and then of course respiratory issues. So I guess I'm frustrated because I always look at the board as making sure the manager follows up on ratepayer issues. Sometimes you do, and then sometimes you don't. And so this has been brought up at least four times, and I haven't heard anybody say anything. So you know how it makes me feel. You don't care about my health because nobody's doing anything about it, you know. So I guess I want to know, when we have this problem and we call and talk to our manager, what is he going to do about it? It's very frustrating, you know.
Wow. are assuming that there is a chlorine overload, which I'm assuming you are implying that the disinfectant byproduct amount is too high. And that is measured in two ways, and we measure that on a regular basis, and we are below the levels. We had one incident last fall that we exceeded the level, but we don't exceed those levels. So you're, what I understand, your concern about the smell of chlorine and the levels of chlorination or the byproducts that are the disinfectant byproducts that are measured in the water, I think, are two different things. So if you're...
They are two different things.
Okay.
We had an exceedance for HAA5s, not chlorine residual.
Right.
They can be interrelated, but they're not always interrelated.
Correct.
And how do we manage it? We test chlorine residuals every single day. A lot of times, if you have a chlorine smell, it's related to a pH issue, or there is not enough chlorine in the water. So we manage the water distribution system to the best of our abilities in making sure our chlorine residual is safe, that we're not below or above any MCLs. And I would argue that the advent and the use of chlorine in drinking water systems over the last 150 years around the world has saved more lives and made drinking water more accessible to a lot of third world countries that would not have that. And your supposition that we're contaminating the water or overloading the water with chlorine, I reject. We're not.
Well,
so
I guess
you are entitled to your opinion.
Sure.
But I reject that assertion because we're not.
Okay. Well, the reason why it is a concern, because there are three people on my street and we're pretty much all on the same side. So I would like you to find out what it is. Or is it that we're not flushing the lines out enough and the chlorine gas is building up and that's why we have that issue? Because, you know, like I said, Tony, at one meeting, I've lived in a lot of places in my life and I have never had this issue. So, you know, as
And like I said, Robin,
yeah,
when you smell chlorine,
yeah,
a lot of the times it's pH related, pH related, and there's not enough chlorine in the water. So we try to check chlorine residual around town at different locations, and we'll put Riverview on our list to make sure we get some residuals up there.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. All right. Good. Thank you, Tony. Hearing no other
question, Director comments. Oh, I was going to ask about our computer system that just got switched over.
That would be the email server.
Now, do I have to bring my laptop down to have that research on the Easy Street or Michelle laptop?
Oh. You'll have to ask Michelle about that.
It would be easier if you did.
If I don't?
Yeah.
Because I thought that I could move it over and I'm having issues.
No, me too.
I can do it myself. I brought it down. You could.
I think you have to have an Apple not to have issues.
It's interesting given that it's a Microsoft Exchange server, so that's...
It should be not having issues, but the Apple works fine with the Microsoft Exchange server.
For you. Okay.
Beyond my pay grade, all of that is...
Yeah.
All right, then. It is 5:58 and I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you for coming.